Well, good evening and welcome to Steadfast. I am so glad to be with you on this wintry evening. And as we find ourselves here on this January evening, it reminds us that February is right around the corner. And with February, what happens? Pitchers and catchers report. Yes, in fact, this weekend was winter warm-up, the weekend where the Cardinals players, new and old, come and they meet with fans. And there's all kinds of activities meant to get everybody rallying, everybody excited about the fact that the new season is coming. Except for, I think, many of us, maybe even most of us, it didn't feel quite as exciting this year. Why? Well, the last few seasons have been incredibly disappointing, increasingly disappointing, and some of the patterns and trends, well, they just leave us feeling not very hopeful. And on top of that, they've gone into what they call a rebuild. And if you're not familiar with that term, it means basically a time when they get rid of all the old players, everyone that they pay a lot of money, and they try to develop from scratch again. So now they're not talking about winning this season, they're talking about winning some season down the road. And based on how things have gone, it leaves us kind of wondering, well, are we going to or not? And while events like winter warm-up might be partially about remembering that sure past, the past of championships, when most of the champions are gone, it's harder to feel so sure about what the future is going to mean. What does it mean? And that's often how it feels as we go into a new year in life as well. We may be glad to be rid of the past year, and I've talked to many of you. Many of us were really looking forward to a new start in 2026, but at the same time, we look at the past and we see a few things. Maybe some of the things that seem to be going really well in the past that ended in 2025 or 2024, well, they're not back and they haven't been replaced, just like those players haven't been replaced. And so it feels unsure in that regard. And yes, we might have some new things we're trying in the new year, but are they going to work or not? And so just as we look at the 2026 Cardinal season, we think, well, I'm not sure if I should be hopeful or not. In fact, my inclination is maybe to feel not so hopeful. We may feel that way with life as well. Here's what we need. We need a sure past, and we need a surer future. And everything we try to do to provide that ends up coming up short. Last week, we talked about angels and how we often look to angels, maybe even guardian angels that are going to somehow help us. But you know what? They can't provide us that sure future. An angel can't predict the future, can't bring it about. But then we start to talk about the sun. When we talk about Jesus, we find one who can actually bring about that future. In fact, who already has. So we see a sure past and a sure future. And that's what we're going to be thinking about tonight. So let's pray that God would help us to understand that as we come to his word tonight. Would you pray with me, please? Father, thank you for your goodness and your love. Thank you for being with us and providing us with that sure future that we need. Lord, we yearn to know that the future is going to work, that things are going to come together, and yet so often they feel like they aren't. We find ourselves at wit's end, and we find ourselves wondering, okay, it's a fresh start, but what's that really even matter? But Lord, as we think about you and what you do for us, would you help us to understand how you work and how you do provide that sure future for us? Lord, we pray this in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Again, keep in mind that we were talking about angels last week and what they do. And now let's go ahead and look at what Jesus does. Take a look. We find in Hebrews 1, verse 8 and 9, that what happens? Well, the angels can't be sure, but of the Son, he says, your throne, O God, is forever and ever. The scepter of uprightness is the scepter of your kingdom. Your love, you have loved righteousness and hated wickedness. Therefore, God, your God, has anointed you with the oil of gladness beyond your companions. Jesus rules in light of what he has done. That's the key thing we see here. Jesus rules in the light of what he has done. And that's being reviewed here. And it was maybe previewed to an extent, we might say, in the Psalms, where some of it hadn't happened yet. But other parts had. He'd spoken the creation into existence. He had ruled with majesty. He's been ruling the world for eternity. For as long as we can talk about a world, he was ruling that world. But then it also says, at the end of that passage, therefore, O God, your God has set you. Isn't that an interesting phrase? That God has been set by God. What does that mean? Well, for Christians, we have an answer to that. That God the Father has placed an honor upon God the Son. Now, we might say, does that mean that Jesus wasn't really ruling in the past and now he is ruling and so he was sort of God, but now he really is God? No, it's not that. When it's talking about Jesus being placed in that place of honor on the throne, what the psalmist is referring to is the idea that Jesus is being celebrated for what he's accomplished now in time. As he came into the world, incarnate in the world, he accomplishes it, and now there's a celebration. Not a coronation, but a celebration. It's exactly what we think of when we think of Philippians chapter 2, verse 10. So that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. There are both timely and timeless aspects to Jesus' rule. There's the timeless aspect. He made time. He made creation. There's no way we can get to the complete bottom of his rule, the start of his rule, because there's no such thing. But there's also a timely aspect because he's the incarnate God, the God who came into the world, who created every creature, but then lived in that world as a human being. So there's a point in time where he comes and does. In fact, that's what we celebrate. That's why we have the cross. We remember what he did on that cross for us. Jesus has an endless track record as a ruler, and also a very precise point that we can point to where he formed a track record as the human Messiah as well. And then we're told, because of that, his rule is celebrated and continued. That yes, he rules because he is the ruler. It's simply who he is. And also, yes, he rules because he is good and the one who has done the good and faithful thing. Just as there is that paradox of both God and man in one person, so too, there's the paradox of the timely and the timeless. When we're thinking about a sure past and a sure future, we want that because as long as Jesus were only timely, as long as he only had a good record, as long as he was running in time, what happens when time ends? What happens when things change, when creation ultimately is restored? What happens then? Could it fall apart again? That's where the timelessness comes. Jesus has both the experience and the honor. And so when that honor is being placed on him, it's not just a celebratory thing detached from what he's done, but rather it's a celebratory thing celebrating everything he is and everything he's done. And so when we see this, we need to remember that the Father isn't somehow making Jesus worthy enough, worth celebrating, worth being called king. We've probably been to one or more commencement ceremonies over time, and if you've gone to one at a higher education institution, maybe you graduated with a degree from a college, or you went to see a relative graduate, and you know that usually several people, often the person giving the address and maybe several others, are going to get honorary degrees, doctoral degrees, that are awarded essentially because they honored the organization by coming and speaking. They have some note, but they come and they receive this degree. Now, especially if they really are of note, they rarely use that degree because they already have their own reputation they're going off of. That's where the meaning is coming from. But what's interesting is when you have those people that just barely eke in, they get asked, and they weren't really all that important on their own. What do? Well, they come in, and as they come in, they want to be known from here on out as Dr. So-and-so. And technically speaking, that's their right, his or her right, because it's been awarded. But most people cringe a little at it, too. It's like, you showed up and gave a speech. You didn't actually earn this, but now you want me to give this title of honor to you. Another great example, we see the people who go on to the online ordination mills because they want to officiate a wedding. And then afterwards, they change all their social media to Reverend So-and-so. You think, is it technically true? Yes, but you didn't actually do anything other than pay $25 to earn it. do you really need to insist on people calling you it? Well, the author of Hebrews wants to be totally clear. Yes, the Father bestows on the Son the name above all names. Yes, all this honor is being given to him. But you know why? Because he's good and he's faithful and he actually deserves it. It's only affirming and celebrating what he is. And so he has the honor that he deserves. And the key thing is he deserves it. And so the key thing is we can trust him. Because if he deserves that honor, if he deserves being called King Most High, then we know that his rule is secure, that what he's done in the past, it's not like when we look at those Hall of Fame players of the past who are no longer on the team and say, well, because they were so good, the team's going to be great this year. We know that's not true. They're not on the team anymore. But Jesus is still king. Go into a rebuild here of a championship team that no longer is, and there's a genuine question. What's next? Will it be a championship team again in a year, 2 years, a decade? Their teams have rebuilt over and over and never been a champion again, and they were at some point in the past. But the author of Hebrews says, no, Jesus, his rule was and is. His celebration, his championship was and is. It hasn't changed. Take a look at verse 10. And you, Lord, laid the foundation of the earth in the beginning, and the heavens are the work of your hands. They will perish, but you remain. They will all wear out like a garment, like a robe you roll them up. Like a garment they will be changed, but you are the same, and your years will have no end. Jesus rules in the light of eternity. And so it's not just that he ruled in time, that he has that timely aspect, but boy, do we want to hold on to that timeless aspect. Because everything around us isn't timeless, even the things we call timeless. The comparison here of creation is to a piece of clothing, maybe a really nice piece of clothing, but even the nicest pieces of clothing, they eventually wear out. They get rolled up and they get tossed away, get put away. And the psalmist says, but that's what Jesus does with the things that we look at and think are always there. Many in the world thought that the entire universe was eternal, that it was just there. And we're told in Scripture, no, it's not. And in fact, Jesus is so eternal, Jesus is so powerful, so deserving of all the titles. He can actually take up the very creation itself and roll it up like a dirty, worn-out garment. The universe is mere clothes in comparison. Now, we all probably have that favorite shirt or other piece of clothing, favorite coat that we just love and we've had for years and it's been faithful to us. It's served us well. And that's why we love it so much, right? Great memories in it. It's kept us warm or it's kept us cool in the summer, whatever the case might be. It's so nice. But over time, and just wearing it and washing it and drying it and everything else, it starts to wear out. And at that point, if we were really attached to it, I think many of us have had this. We take that piece of clothing and we only wear it on certain occasions now, because even though it was so faithful and just always there for us, now we know it doesn't have much left and we don't want to use it all up. Maybe we try to wear it at times that won't necessitate washing immediately so that we can eke out a little more time with it. Or eventually just set it in an honored spot in the closet. Or if you're a little less sentimental, maybe you throw it away. Because now it had all that quality that made it so memorable to us, that we admired it and appreciated it, but now it's just worn out, can't do it anymore. Our favorite parts of creation are like, they will wear out. And that's why we need something sure. Just like our favorite team, the team that seems just unstoppable until when? Until it stops, because every team does. No team's unstoppable. No part of creation's unstoppable. And so as we're thinking about this year and we're thinking, okay, I have a fresh start. The question is, but how do I get to someplace better? And you know, one of the challenges with that, sort of like that piece of clothing that wears out, you set it aside, you get another one. Well, you can't immediately make that, oh, this is my new favorite shirt. It's so good. It has all these memories. No, it doesn't. And so even if you have one that works, it doesn't fix the fact that the old one's worn out, still worn out. Even if someday the Cardinals are a great team again, it doesn't fix the fact that there were a lot of players I really loved seeing play that are no longer playing there. You say, well, God, Okay, you're going to make new things. You're going to make good things. What about stuff I care about? What about the people I care about? What happens now? And often the reason we're anxious for a new year is because things have happened in the old year we're ready to move on from, but the fact that we changed the calendar to January doesn't make those things go away. We might try new things and try to get a fresh start. There's still the stuff that nags at us, the losses, the pain. What about that? Like that favorite shirt that we can't wear dependably anymore, and we can't just snap our fingers and replace it, and it doesn't matter. But so much more so when we're talking about the pains we face in life. Maybe some of the people that we lose, that even one of the reasons we loved that piece of clothing that we've been talking about was because we'd spent time wearing it at favorite family gatherings or what have you, and now we think about the people that aren't here. What about that? Jesus is going to make things new. He's going to restore. He's going to declare by the word of his power that things will be made right. But I can declare I'm going to have clothes that are in perfect condition and not ones that have tears or are getting ready to fall apart. It doesn't mean that those ones that were going to fall apart are no longer going to. And I think one of the nagging things when we look at the future is when God says he's going to make things new, when he says he's going to make things right, right in what way? About what we love and care about. As he brings forth righteousness, and we're told here he loves righteousness, what happens since we're not always righteous? Here's the beautiful thing about Jesus' rule. He makes the things whom he loves righteous. He takes you and he takes me and he takes the people around us. He takes his people and he restores them and he restores the creation itself. And so we're not talking about throwing away the old garment. We're talking about doing what maybe only the most masterful worker of textiles could do. Weaving it back together, fixing the holes, and doing it perfectly. So it's actually better than it was to begin with. And in most things in this life, we can't do that. But Jesus can. Jesus takes the steadiness of his rule, the steadiness that goes from beyond time. He says, that's what I'm going to apply to the things that you've experienced in time. We talk about his honor. That's why we're talking about not some kind of empty honor. Because the honor that he has, the power that he has, is a power that he brings and he gives to his people because he loves us. So as we come to him, we can know he doesn't just have the title. He doesn't just have the past. He has the sure future that will make it happen. Would you pray with me, please? Father, thank you for this evening and for this chance to trust afresh in you. And Lord, if we've never done so, would you help us to do so tonight? But also, Father, if there are those who have, we all need to renew that. We start to think, yes, God can do so much, but will he do this? Will he really restore me? Will he really restore my loved ones? Will he really make this creation and the good parts of it right? And the answer is yes. And would you help us to hold on to that hope in this new? Yes, so much of what we try to bring about so that a new year can be hopeful isn't really bringing about anything hopeful. But we know in you we find hope. And we pray this in the precious name of our Savior, Jesus. Amen. Well, I hope this has been an encouragement to you today. And if it has, please do give it a like and a share. Subscribe to our channel. Do those things you hear on every video that you listen to on social media from everybody. I know you hear them and we just tune them out. But We're not trying to promote this channel. We're not trying to promote Little Hills Church even. We're trying to promote the only one who can make everything right. And when you share it, you're saying to someone, I know you're going into this new year wondering how to make things right, but hear about the one who does make things right. He's not going to just do a rebuild with you by replacing everything you care about and maybe even you with some new team that's going to get a victory. No, he's going to take the people whom he loves and enable them to enjoy his victory with him. That's something so worth sharing. And I thank you when you do. Also, if you have any prayer requests, any questions, you can use the texting line or the comments below, 833-356-4032. That's 833-356-4032. 356-4032. Just text in. We'd love to connect with you that way or in the comments. Either way, we can pray for each other and encourage each other, because we may all feel like we're those broken, worn-out garments, but God is the one who will make us genuinely new. Hope you have a wonderful and blessed week, and I'll see you again next week.